The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's a Laugh. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. My dear listeners, spring is almost in the air. And we know what that means. Love is almost in the air, too. And sometimes the perfect relationship takes a bit of perseverance and creativity, and sometimes perspective. In other words, in true Tal fashion, no typical relationship advice today, folks. Instead, we will hear about alternative methods to finding that perfect someone, times when feelings may be just a bit one-sided, and even how to balance the perfect relationship when the significant other isn't actually a person. To start us off, a couple of stories from the book I Need a Lifeguard Everywhere But the Pool, written by Lisa Scottolini and Francesca Saratella, published in 2017. Lisa's chapter, The Scent of a Woman. Did you hear about the new dating service? It works by smell. In other words, it stinks. Literally. It's called Smell Dating and has a website all its own, which has a very large picture of nostrils. I'm not kidding. Don't turn your nose up. In fact, it's probably no worse a way to find a mate than the ways I found them, which led to Thing 1 and Thing 2 and 2 divorces. As I've said, I don't regret the divorces. I regret the marriages. I didn't notice the smell, but the flies did. Anyway, to stay on point, there is actually a new thing called smell dating, which advertises itself as the first male odor dating service. Get it? And how it works is that you send the company $25 and they send you a shirt to wear for 3 days and 3 nights without deodorant. So far, so good. I have $25, and I have been known to not change my shirt for 3 days and 3 nights. In fact, while we're oversharing, I don't wear deodorant anymore. Call me crazy, but I don't want to smear aluminum chlorohydrate, parabens, propylene glycol, triclosan, triethanolamine, and diethanolamine on my armpits. I save that stuff for my breasts. Just kidding. God intended me to sweat, and I like it that way. Lucky for me, everyone I live with feels the exact same way. Oh, wait, I forgot. I live alone. There is no relationship between these facts. It's not my smell that compels my solitude. It's my choice. Or maybe it's my personality, but that's neither here nor there. I know I'm not the only woman who doesn't want to wear deodorant because I noticed that there's a new company that has sprung up to market a natural deodorant made of charcoal. I've yet to do this. I'm not sure that smearing charcoal on my underarm is an improvement on perspiration, but it will come in handy in time for summer barbecuing. The truth is, I hardly sweat because I sit on my butt all day long, and the only part of me that moves is my fingers. And when I do sweat, it smells like rainbows and rose petals. I know this because the dogs told me. Anyway, to stay on point, I always keep an eye out for news stories to report to you, and the smell dating story caught my eye and my nose. The way smell dating works is that after wearing the t-shirt, you return it to the company in a prepaid envelope, and they send you 10 swatches from t-shirts worn by other people for 3 days and 3 nights without deodorant. Yes, you read that correctly. People are mailing their dirty laundry to each other. I'm hoping for the dating service that allows me to mail the company my dirty shirts, and they will wash them and send them back to me. Now, if there was a guy who I could do that with, I would date him. But again, not how it works. After you smell the samples, you're supposed to tell the company which sample you like. I know which sample I like. The guy who smells like chocolate cake. If someone whose smell you like happens to like your smell, then the company will allow you to exchange contact information and you can meet each other at a bar of soap. Okay, I made that last part up. I don't know if smell dating is a worse idea than any other, and I was curious about the research. So I turned to the website FAQ section and read the question, "I'm looking for a serious relationship. Is this service for me?" Here's the answer. The olfactory apparatus is a non-trivial source of information, and the extent of its impact on our social lives is currently unknown. Would you like me to translate? We have no idea. In other words, there may be no point to smell dating at all. If you're cynical, like some people we know, not me, okay, me, you might think that the point would be the $25. After all, there might be enough smelly people who are also dumb enough to part with $25 in order to get shreds of somebody else's dirty laundry in the vain hope of finding love, happiness, and joy, or cheer. But surprisingly, the company claims to be not for profit, and that its finances are available upon request. Should we request? I think so, because something smells fishy. Hopefully that helps if you are searching for your true mate. But sometimes the relationship you're trying to perfect is not necessarily with a person. We find out more about that in another of Lisa's chapters, Pasta Impasse. You know how on Facebook people say their relationship is complicated? Well, my relationship just got complicated. I'm talking about my relationship with pasta. Let me take you back in time to the dark ages when we didn't even use the word pasta. Back then we called it spaghetti. And growing up in a household of the Flying Scottellinis, we had spaghetti every night for dinner. I'm not even kidding. I have mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. We thought spaghetti was what you had for dinner. Sometimes we had it with meatballs, sometimes with chicken, but always spaghetti. You would think this got boring, but it never did. All my friends wanted to come to our house for dinner. Why? Because we had spaghetti. On holidays, we had ravioli or gnocchi, but even then, we still served it with spaghetti. Yes, we had carbohydrates with a side of carbohydrates. And we were as happy as clams. Spaghetti with clams. So naturally, I grew up loving spaghetti, and it's still the food I crave. I would eat it every night if my jeans would permit. My sweatpants are fine with it, however. Then, in the evolution of spaghetti history, everybody started calling it pasta, which enabled restaurants to charge $3 more. At the time, I started reading about how you should eat whole wheat pasta because it was made of healthier ingredients, like it didn't have semolina. Until then, I didn't know that regular pasta was made of semolina, which sounds like a last name. Meet Lisa Semolina, author and dog lover. But I read that whole wheat spaghetti was better for you because it had more protein. I compared it, and on the box, it said that regular spaghetti had 7 grams of protein, but whole wheat pasta has 8 grams of protein. You might not think that 1 gram makes a difference, but I never underestimate the power of one. Not only literally. Literally, it takes me 3 years to lose a single pound, so I don't take one for granted. So I made the switch to whole wheat spaghetti, and I told myself that it tasted the same. It didn't, but I lived with it. I completely replaced my semolina-laden spaghetti with whole wheat spaghetti and drowned it in tomato sauce, or gravy, to those of you who speak the language being South Philly. I went happily slash unhappily on my way, eating whole wheat pasta, until I saw a different type of pasta that was supposed to be even healthier, called Protein Plus. Plus is definitely good, right? Protein Plus pasta seems to be somewhere between whole wheat pasta and regular pasta, and it has 10 grams of protein. Wow! That's 3 grams more than 7. Proof that I can subtract. Or add. Or get suckered in by anything. So I bought the Protein Plus pasta, drowned that in sauce slash gravy, and kept telling myself how much fun I was having, until I came across a new kind of pasta that was made from chickpeas, and it had 13 grams of protein. In other words, I hit the protein jackpot. For a long time, I subbed that in, burying it in gravy, and also mozzarella. Obviously, we're abandoning the calorie count. I needed the mozzarella to smother the taste, which I never needed with regular pasta, which tastes awesome all by itself. So I have more protein, but also more carbs and fat. And I have 4 different types of pasta in my pantry: regular, whole wheat, Protein Plus, and chickpea. On any given night when I want pasta, I never know which one to choose. So you see why my relationship with pasta is so complicated. But it isn't over. Nobody divorces spaghetti. Spaghetti? Yes, that's certainly a complex relationship. Of course, food isn't the only type of relationship that can result in complexities. Next up, 2 stories from the book Laugh Out Loud, 40 Women Humorists Celebrate Then and Now Before We Forget, published in 2018 and written by Aaliyah Zobel Nolan with contributions from Irma Bombeck Writers Workshop. The first chapter, Aaliyah Zobel Nolan's chapter, Hi, I'm Aaliyah, and I'm cat codependent. I consider myself a forceful woman, not given to many crutches. No nightlight keeps vigil while I sleep. Spiders don't make me squeamish. I know where the oil goes in my car. I am a woman of a certain age, but so far that has never held me back. Still, I do have this one overwhelming Achilles heel, and it's not from my Christian Louboutins. It's because of my cats. I love them too much. So, okay, I admit it. I'm cat codependent. It's an addiction I've struggled with all my life. But happily these days, I'm not alone. Women and men everywhere have caught on to what I've known for years. There's no getting enough of cats, which is why an allurophile like myself will spend hours on Facebook and YouTube pawing over cat videos. That is, when I'm not trolling the net for cat clothing, jewelry, tattoos, or for the latest cat cafe. Why, I've even considered plastic surgery to look more like my cat. Still, it wasn't always like this. In the days before Grumpy Cat and Lil Bob, people thought I was a joke, the infamous cat lady gone over the edge. Did you notice her upper lip? One of my business associates cackled. She looks like she's sprouting whiskers. Yeah, and her briefcase stinks of salmon, another answered. It's horribly unprofessional. What about those earrings? Yet another associate chimed in. She makes them from her cat's fur. Disgusting. Yet, what did those naysayers know? Back then, the general populace thought a cat was, well, just a cat. They had no idea. It's only now that cats are getting the respect they deserve. It's only recently that people have come to see them as the loyal, loving, entertaining creatures they are. It's only today that the cat reclaims the honored place she had back when pharaohs wore snakes on their heads and people rode to work in chariots. And talk about being in sync. I've never met any human that could ever match my cats. Oh, my husband comes close, but even he has his limitations. In all the years I've known him, he's never once run down the stairs and rubbed against my legs the minute I walk in. Then, too, when I'm in the tub, he doesn't sit quietly alongside like the cats grooming himself. And if I fall asleep on the couch after a hard day's work, you won't catch him perched on my stomach, purring and kneading me like they do. Oh, sure, he has his attributes. It's just that my cats are infinitely more simpatico. Even in this age of the cat, though, some people still snicker that I go overboard. They don't realize I'm in recovery, and things take time. However, I am getting better, litter by litter. Why, only last week, I bought Scoopable on sale instead of the designer brand litter I've imported in the past. I saved $2, but I felt like a cad. True to their self-sacrificing nature, the little darlings took it on the chin. They only did their business twice on the rug. The truth is, I have had to cut back in other ways, too, and it almost broke my heart. It isn't easy explaining to fur children who are used to having the air conditioning and Animal Planet on all day that they have to sweat and look out the window. But I have put my foot down. I no longer open up tin after tin of cat food to find one that they like. I've set a limit of 9. I've also canceled the cat's animal enrichment classes with their mind-body counselor, Uma. What's more, no cats eat from our plates anymore. I bought them their own bone china, and I don't jump up each time they want to leave the room. All the doors, including the powder room, now have cat flaps. So, I'm making some progress. And the fact is, with so many other women and men coming out of the bag about their cat codependency these days, I feel much better. I don't feel so alone, so ostracized. But for now, I'll just finish massaging Nolan's temples. He gets those awful sinus headaches when he stays out all night. Then maybe I'll surprise the kitties with a real treat. I mean, how hard can it be to give a cat a French manicure? And how about when your relationship is even more abstract, like with your name? Jennifer Burns chapter, Jennifer is the New Gertrude. One of the first things I did when I arrived in this life was jump on the incredibly crowded bandwagon known as Jennifer. Actually, it was my parents who heaved me on it, kicking and screaming, so I really had no choice. Hey, here's an idea, I imagine them brainstorming. Let's give our new daughter the very same name as every other female infant born on planet Earth this year. Sound like a plan? Blah. Being trendy is awesome. If we're talking dogs, shoes, or purses, or dogs who travel with fashionable ladies who carry them in their purses. When it comes to a name, though, being part of the latest craze is the pits. Your name, generally speaking, is supposed to be a unique personal identifier, a way to tell you apart from other people. When judged on that criteria, Jennifer is about as useful as being named Hey You. In my class alone at school, you couldn't drop a pencil without bumping into a Jennifer. There was Jennifer M, Jennifer D, Jennifer B, Jennifer W, and Jennifer E, otherwise known in schoolyard shorthand as Pretty Jennifer, Bucktooth Jennifer, Chunky Jennifer, Picks Her Nose Jennifer, and Jennifer with the Nerdy Glasses. Me. Still, as time goes by, we will all morph into old Jennifer, and even with extensive Botox and expensive face creams, we won't be able to hide it. Soon, before a person even meets us, she'll know what to expect. A Gisette. Here's why. When you have a name that's associated with a specific year, it's like a vintage of wine. It dates you. So instead of writing Jennifer on all those little square white "Hello, my name is" conference tags, I might as well just write "a 70s child" and let people guess. Chances are they'll come up with Jennifer without even thinking. I'm told my parents named me after a character in the 1970 movie Love Story. Spoiler alert, this woman dies tragically. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Apparently, lots of other parents christened their offspring after this character as well, because Jennifer was the number one name that year, and for several years after. At some point, though, the name dropped off the charts and was squeezed out of the top 100. The good news is, I did manage to outlive my ill-fated namesake. The bad news is, as we Jennifers move through the decades, our name has basically fixed us in time and is pretty much tracking us across our lifespans. It's as though we had been trapped by wildlife scientists outfitted with Jennifer GPS collars and turned loose, with our names tattling on where we are at every step of the age continuum. Once upon a time, being named Jennifer, and especially Jen, J-E-N, was a dead giveaway for being annoyingly young. For a while, Jen, with a double N, was favored as an even younger version of the name. Today, we Jennifers aren't exactly ancient, but we're certainly getting there. What I notice most about this is the terrifying way time has sped up. Years that once seemed to last, well, for years, now zip by at warp speed. I'm now the lady who tells embarrassed-for-me kids that they're growing up too fast and muses with old chums that our high school days seemed like yesterday. I've given this some thought, and the over-the-hill cliche explains it surprisingly well. I liken it to sledding. Trudging up the hill is like the first half of life. It feels like it's taking forever, but once we've finished the slog and start sledding down the hill, we're suddenly careening so fast we can barely breathe. That's like the second half. As my name now places me on the downhill slide, I'm hoping to put the brakes on and enjoy as much of the ride as I can before I hit bottom. I can do that if I keep in mind that gals who had trendy names like Bertha, Myrtle, and Gertrude back in the flapper days all too soon wound up trying to avoid indigestion, loose dentures, and telephone scams. So if I'm ever going to enjoy myself, I'd better do it now. I guess most of the 70s Jennifers are probably middle-aged like I am. Before we know it, though, we'll be bottlenecking rehab facilities at an alarming rate. Nurses will call out, "Jennifer," and half the place will yell back, "Yes." This is my future. It's everyone's future, of course. But as a Jennifer, my telltale age will always precede me and rat me out. That is, unless the name comes full circle. Lots of things enjoy a revival. Everything old is new again. So I'm hoping that Jennifer will make a last-minute comeback. It could be the latest in recycled trendy names. Savvy moms across the country won't have to think twice. If they have a daughter, Jennifer will be their hands-down choice. That way, maybe, just maybe, when people hear the name Jennifer and assume they're about to meet someone without a full set of teeth, they'd be right either way. They just won't know whether that someone will be an old lady or an infant. And lastly, we close with a story of near infatuation by Sean Dietrich from his book, Small Towns, Labradors, Barbecue, Biscuits, Beer, and Bibles, published in 2015. The chapter, Nurses. I was in love with my mother's friend, Vivian. Mother said she was the most dedicated nursing student God ever created. But she was more than that. She was perfect. Whenever Vivian was around, I was unable to speak in complete sentences. It might have been her long dark hair or her almond eyes, which both seemed to say, "Run away with me, damn you!" And I wasn't discouraged that Vivian was 20 years my senior. After all, in some third-world cultures, adolescent romances were considered modern. Trendy, even. One year, when Vivian's semester final exams were nearing, she approached me with the proposition. "Sean," she said, "I know you paint and draw." I felt my face turn the color of a Venus Eagle cherry. Vivian explained, "My professors agreed to let my class use notes on the final test, but there's a catch. My notes have to fit onto this." She held an index card. "Can you write small enough to do it?" "Golly, your skin looks soft." "I'd pay you for your trouble." "The softest I've ever seen, and I'll bet you smell like flowers." "Are you even listening?" "A whole mountainside of flowers." Well, that night I stayed up 13 hours writing with the tiniest penmanship conceivable, using a magnifying glass. When I completed the note card, hardly any white was showing. On the bottom of the card, I wrote a singular sentence in the form of a question, which would remain unanswered until the day of Vivian's graduation, when she proclaimed from the stadium, "No, I won't marry you, Sean." The auditorium erupted in laughter. Then that ugly hussy blew me a kiss. And now I leave you with a few notes about relationships from thequotesmaster.com. No, I am not single. I am in a long-distance relationship because my girlfriend lives in the future. Marriage has no guarantees. If that's what you're looking for, go live with a car battery. And finally, I love my relationship with my bed. No commitment needed. We just sleep together every night. And we've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please be sure to listen next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. That's a Laugh is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any humorous quotes or authors you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number one more time is 919-832-5138. We thank you very much for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.